love the beer.
They love me.
Don't you know they love the beer?
All right. Welcome to Beer Goggles Podcast, Episode 1. I'm Drew.
I'm Nate.
And this is the first time we're going to be doing something of the sort with beer on a podcast.
We are also from the Three Geeks podcast, where we talk about comic books and such, but this is the complete opposite, where we just talk about beer all the time.
The two things we love the most. We're just two dudes from northeastern Pennsylvania trying to find the ultimate beer or ultimate kinds of beer, maybe our personal favorites of each kind of beer.
And we're also trying to stick to craft beers, no Budweiser or fucking Coors or Miller.
Although we might have some one-off episodes where we just get shitty on some shit beers.
Yeah, just to
reminisce on the times we were 18 and drinking. I mean, 21 and drinking. Today we're going to be reviewing some pretty awesome beers. We're going to do the Dead Guy Ale first.
By Rogue Brewery. I don't know if they're from Portland, but they are from Oregon.
And then later on we're going to be doing the Weyerbacher Merry Monks. So, tune in. This will be a good one.
Okay, for a little bit of history, I'm going to go right off of Rogue's website on what their history of the Dead Guy Ale is. In the early 1990s, Dead Guy Ale was created as a private tap sticker to celebrate the Mayan Day of the Dead, November 1st, or All Souls Day, for Casa You Betcha in Portland, Oregon. The Dead Guy design proved so popular with consumers, and especially the Grateful Dead fans, that they made it the label for our Meyerbacher, I believe I'm saying that right, even though the association with the Grateful Dead band is pure coincidence, we have gratefully dedicated Dead Guy Ale to the Rogue in each of us. It's won awards right off the top of the list, 2007, 2006, and 2005. It won the silver in the World Beer Championships. And for some tasting notes, In the ale style of a German Maibach, using our proprietary Pac-Man ale yeast, deep honey in color with a malty aroma and a rich, hearty flavor. It pairs with food such as pork,
which I just had tonight. I swear I just had pork tonight, so this will be good.
And hot and spicy stuff, which I had Chipotle earlier. So
that works out.
And if you're wondering, it comes in draft, 22-ounce bottles, 64-ounce growlers, and six-packs, which we will be drinking tonight.
Yeah, we picked the six-pack because it's the only way we could get it. I'm sure we'd drink growlers if we could.
Yeah, because
there's a 164-ounce.
Yeah, there's not many places around here to get good shit.
But that won't stop us.
We will travel for beer. All right, well, let's crack these bad boys open. Let's see what we get.
All right.
There's one.
Alright, let's hope that picked up. If not, we might add in the cracking of a beer, if you will. We should get the prices right. Music. Okay,
well, it looks like beer.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like beer. It's mildly see-through. It's a lighter beer, of course. It's an ale. It's, you know.
Yeah, so let's try this shit.
Cheers.
Cheers. I definitely like it.
Yeah, it's nice little sweet in the beginning with that real good bitter, but afterwards not too overpowering. I don't know how much of the percentage on this.
I don't know what percentage it is. It doesn't say anywhere. It does have like a little bit of a bitterness afterwards.
Yeah, like right out, like.
But not anything insane, just a little tiny bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it does leave a good taste in your mouth, I think.
Yeah, and surprisingly enough, for an ale, it's almost summery right in the beginning.
Yeah.
It doesn't go right to the bitter. It has that like nice sweet in the beginning.
I would say that you could definitely. I definitely drink this like if I were at a lake.
A lake, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like if I was hanging out on a boat or something.
Sitting on the picnic blanket with your sweetie.
You have
you have a Dead Guy Ale.
Always fitting. Or in the graveyard.
Or in the graveyard, which we've have done.
Yeah, for all you underage drinkers that we don't condone drinking, but we graveyards do. Are great places, because who hangs out in them at night?
Yeah, wink, wink. Yeah, actually, that's a story right there. When we were younger, we used to, when we were younger, we used to start off at Nate's house, and we'd pack our backpacks full of whatever shitty beer we could get.
Typically Lion's Head.
Yep, and that's not shitty, and that's the best stuff around for a Pilsner.
Yeah, and it's cheap.
Yep.
Easily obtainable. Most places carry it.
And around here, anyway.
Yeah, for if anyone's listening outside of any PA, it's located in Wilkes-Barre, but we'll get to that at another podcast.
Yes, that will be a podcast. So you have to stay tuned then for the rest of them. It'll be a secret. But yeah, we used to pack up with Lion's Head or sometimes 40s. We were big 40 fans.
Yeah.
And we'd walk up to the graveyard and get shit-faced.
And we'd usually end up walking from the graveyard to the local park. And then drink.
I called Blanche Price. We don't go there anymore, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it's
true.
Right next to a cop refueling station. Yeah. Like, literally, you can see the cops refuel as you're wasted. And
well, depending on where you sit, because there is that part where we sat in the benches in the woods.
Yeah.
Yeah, that place, that was the best place. Even though...
What about the dugout?
Oh, yeah, the dugout. Which I threw up violently in. But, The one also bad part about that is if you don't want to go on the road to be seen by any police or anything going up in there, you had to cut through people's lawns. And the one we cut through had a gigantic fucking gutter right in the thing that I kicked. And I'm pretty sure I woke up the whole house. So.
And fast forward a few hours later, we are getting way too drunk for our own good. And like he said, he threw up in a dugout. And he threw up so loud that, like, right outside of the baseball field we were sitting in, there was another house, and he was throwing up so loud that the motion sensor light came on, and it sounded like someone was slaying a dragon.
I couldn't remember if you said that. I just remember someone saying, "You slay dragons when you puke."
Yeah. And then fast forward about another hour from that point, and he's in my room. We're trying to not be drunk.
Yeah.
We're wasted. And I wake up to him peeing on my nightstand.
And then I peed on my own shoes.
Yeah. And then I woke him up out of the daze, and I asked him to smell my nightstand. He just told me it smelled like beer, not piss. As if, what else would you piss out when you had that?
No, I believe the words were, exactly!
Oh, no.
Well, those were good times.
Yeah, it's actually our going away celebration.
Yeah, we had like a 3-day, 4-day bender.
And then we moved to Ocean City and had about a 3 or 4 month bender.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah, that we gotta save those stories though.
Yeah,
but
they're pretty bad.
What was I gonna say? I can't remember it now.
3-4 day bender. We went out there 2 nights in a row, right?
No, because the second night we got there and we were with
Josh and Megan.
We were Josh and Megan, and then I believe Sean was with us. And then we wound up going to Dan Reeser's house where we
drank.
That's
right.
And then we talked about serial killers all night.
I had something to show you.
Yeah. The infamous line. There was a little girl asleep on the couch, and I said to Sean, what if she just got up and looked at you and was just like, I have something to show you, and started turning into a werewolf.
Man, that is a movie being made right now. It should be, anyway.
Then the next day after that, we woke up early and went to the closing party for Funbox Skateboards.
That's right, where
we drank the whole way down.
Yeah, we did.
And we were
throwing
to
bottles
over the
overpass. We don't condone drinking and driving, by the way.
Especially when you're underage.
Yeah. Doing it here is a bad idea. We need to soundproof these walls. We are currently in what seems to be the headquarters of the Beer Goggles podcast, which is what I'm calling the walk-in cooler right now, because the beer is here and it's cold as shit because there's no heat.
Yeah, and we're cold as shit.
Yeah. So we're drinking cold beverages in a cold room, which That leads me to another small story I did once. Man, we're terrible people. in Allentown, I was broke and living in Effort. Just driving out there. It's a long drive for people who aren't around here. Effort's about 40 miles north of Allentown. Well, I wanted to get some beer. Didn't really have any money, so I decided to go to a local beer spot right next to a specific Target somewhere in the area of Allentown, or maybe Bethlehem, or I'm not going to be too specific. And I decided, hey, I'm just going to walk into the walk-in cooler and drink two of the beers out of the six-pack really quick. So I chugged two Lion's Heads and pushed the caps back on, and I left.
That's awesome. I hope someone got that case. It's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's the best part. It was in a, because at the time, Lion's Head wasn't sold in six packs. Well, it was a little case spot, so they didn't even have six packs there to begin with. Mm. So I actually snuck them out of the hole of the case and put them back in.
That's impressive.
So it looks like two bottles weren't filled before they were bottled.
Oh, man. So, someone, you know what the bad thing is? Lion's Head probably got a call. I was like, you guys fucking bottled it. And you didn't fucking fill it up.
Sorry, Stagmeyer. The Lion Brewery.
But, yeah. Man.
Stealing beer is fun, even though you shouldn't do it. We don't condone the stuff we did.
When I was in New York on vacation, I went to this grocery store, and for those New Yorkers that know, or anyone that's been to New York, you can go into a fucking grocery store and buy beer, no problem. And you walk into this, like, they had sliding glass doors on it, and it was frigid in there. Like, everything was cold because you were basically in a gigantic ice box.
Yeah.
And we went through, and I think I got a Magic Hat variety pack, and we got Pabst Blue Ribbon, a bunch of shit. We were going to be there for a week, so we went, and there was girls with us, and then we needed to get them smeared off ice, and my one friend who doesn't, he just can't handle beer for some reason, we got him Mike's Hard Lemonade. And I was like, yeah, I know.
And, I can't handle beer. I just want some hot lemonade. Beer is so bitter.
I don't know who your friend is, but that's his voice now. That'll be any naysayer of beer.
He isn't like this tall, so.
Yeah. I'm really short, and I don't like beer.
But so we crammed everything in the cart, and we also got groceries on top of that, so we're checking everything out at the same time. And I'm like, oh, screw this. I am not helping pay for Mike's Hard Lemonade or Smeared on Ice. We packed everything in, and we just, like, as soon as we'd grab it, we'd throw it up on the counter and throw it right back in, and we just did that with everything, and they totally missed both of them. Like, fucking A.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm stealing beer. This past week, two people that I may or may not know, one of them may or may not be me. I was on tour and in Philly, which I was making very clear on the Twitter that I was drinking craft brews everywhere I could go, and one of them was the Mill Hill Basement. The Mill Hill Basement was awesome, thanks to Greg Klein. Gave us some of the Neshaminy Creek beer, which was great, and he also gave us a vanilla porter, which was awesome. And I don't remember what the vanilla porter was, but the Neshaminy Creek was cream ale. But anyway, Saturday we go and hit Philadelphia. And when Philadelphia happens, we are really drunk, but not drunk enough, so we walk up to a local bar that we don't like. That bar being a bar I won't name, because I don't want them to not serve me. And we were trying to get a six-pack of beer, and apparently they weren't even looking at us. So we're holding the six-pack of shitty beer, and they're not trying to get their money. So we just kind of looked at each other and walked out. So we got a free six pack of the High Life, of the Miller variety. So we lived the High Life. And
the Champagna of beer.
Yeah, the Champagna of beer. So thank you, Bill Arender, for helping me out with that one. And yeah, so stealing beer, not that we condone it, but it's hard not to do it sometimes.
There was a bar right down the road called The Hop. And I was a regular of there. I knew everybody. The bartenders, they're from Laos. And I found
coolest
out,
people.
Yeah, they were awesome. Except for one time, I was about to go to parade day in Scranton the next day, and I was like, screw it, I'm gonna go get drunk tonight while I wait for my cousin to come pick me up.
Because that's what parade day's for.
Yeah. He lives in
and blowjobs in porta potties.
Yes. But he lives he lives
the
in
just flow, man.
Yeah, I know. He lives in Goldsboro, so we are gonna shoot up to Scranton. We go to this fucking or no, I'm at the bar, I forget to pay my tab. Because I was in a hurry when I left. So I come back the next day, the owner, who I just knew was Hop, I don't know what his real name was. He was like, or no, actually his wife, CY, as soon as I walked into the place, was like, you pay now! I'm like, for what? And she was like, you walk out last night and I'll pay a tab. And I'm like, whoa, 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 here, lady. I don't remember this at all. And then she showed me the tab and I'm like, all right, I didn't pay it. And then Hop comes over and he's like, no, no, you don't have to pay. You've been in here a lot. You don't have to pay. I'm like, right on. That's awesome. You know, I should get a once in a while break on a tab. Fucking CY comes over. You pay now! And Hop's just like, he don't have to. She said, no, he paid. I paid just so Hop didn't get the shit kicked out of him later that night.
We didn't get both.
And then, as my retribution for that, the last day that Hop's was open, I didn't have much money. I'm there the whole time. I'm drinking. I'm fucking hammered. I'm sitting out on the porch smoking a cigarette, and I go, fuck it. They're closing. If I walk out without paying, what are they going to do? Never serve me again? So I went in and I was like, let me get like 5 beers and whatever for people outside. And she's like, okay. And fucking hands me all the beer. They're super nice people. I sort of felt bad about dicking them over. But at the same time, I was like, fuck it.
They're
the last
closing.
Day. And not to mention, they weren't paying for the place half the time. That's why they got out of there. But, yeah, that was probably the most beer I've ever stole, just because it was like, I probably had a tab of like $60, like shots
good circumstances
and beers, and
though.
Yeah, yeah. Then sometimes my uncle, who is known as the town drunk, always has been. If he was a bartender, he'd bartend on Sundays just so him and his buddies could have beers. And I mean, he's like, he has to be in his 60s now, and his rules were, if he could, he wouldn't pour anything out of a tap. It had to be in a bottle or a can. You could have a shot, and the only mixed drink you could have is if you poured your shot into your beer. He wasn't doing anything else.
I just want to say how good this Dead Guy Ale is.
It is very delicious.
It's not the first time I've had it, but it is just a great ale.
This is the first time for me, and in the shop right where we got this, in Mount Pocono, every time I've ever been there and gotten beer with someone, I've always looked at it and I'm like, I want to try that. I never fucking bought a sixer. And I always had money to, and I've been there tons of times and just never picked it up.
It's a good beer, and it's no more expensive than the other beers, and Rogue makes a great product all the time. They really do. So it's a good beer to start off this, and maybe the people that are heavy into Rogue products will start listening to us, because that's what you're supposed to do, is listen to a podcast. So do it.
And not to mention, if you're listening to this and you're not a big craft brew person, you should just spend the extra couple bucks it takes for a six-pack to get one, because I think this was like $15?
And that's bear in mind, that's at a place where you can't normally get beers, so it probably is between $10 to $15 for the six pack, depending on where you go.
Yeah.
And that's another thing we'll do. Actually, we'll try to keep in mind for the people that are just like getting into craft brews, or maybe not like craft brews, and we'll give them the options of like, well, this is like too bitter for people, you know, where this is actually a really good, if you want a good idea of how a craft brew tastes that is still available for like a mass appeal, if you will, this is a good place to start.
Because I mean, from what I understand and from what I've seen most places that sell craft beer, you can usually get Rogue, some type of Rogue product, usually Dead Guy Ale. It's like, I don't know if it's their flagship, but it seems to be their flagship. But a lot of places, like, you know, some beers you can only get in that state or, like, a few states around it. Where this one is from the West Coast, and we're drinking it here on the East Coast. And it's a little bitter at the end, but nothing that's going to turn you off. Like, if you're going right to a craft brew and you drink, like, a pit or a IPA,
you
might be turned off by it unless you really like a bitter taste.
You really will be turned off. Yeah. If you're drinking only the cheap, widely known beers, you're not going to be into an IPA for sure.
Yeah.
That's why we're going to try to keep a good balance on that and do some bitter, some not so bitter.
Yeah. Yeah, because I've been drinking a few more IPAs. The first time I ever really had one, I was like, ugh.
I'm going to make him an IPA fan by the end of this, by the end of the first season of podcasting, if you will.
Well, I will say that the other day I got a few IPAs, drank them, wasn't bad. The one I had tonight was a little bit, we'll get to that, I'm sure, at some point. That was a Weyerbacher one. It was one of the most bitter ones I've had yet, but it wasn't bad. I'm getting used to it. It's like beer when you first start drinking beer.
It's like, you know how your parents and all the people that you're like, oh, you're lame, they say beer is an acquired taste. They're actually not lying. They really aren't kidding when they say that, and it's not like a bad thing either.
Yeah, I like remember the first beer I ever tasted. My dad like let me taste a beer, and I'm like, blah. And he's like, you'll get used to it.
You'll get it one day.
Yep.
Do you want to get moving on to the second one?
Let me finish this one first, dude.
I just realized that we shouldn't be like drinking the whole six pack of the one, being as we're trying to keep it a short podcast.
That's true.
The 21.
Yeah, I'd say we could probably go for like a 40-minute.
Yeah, I'm not. No time restrictions here. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
We're still trying this out here. We're used to our other podcast goes for 2 hours.
Yeah, it can go from anywhere for 45 minutes to like 2.5 hours.
Some two-parters.
Yeah.
So we're trying to keep this one on a more reasonable... stories are fun, but it is only beer. But we could always... I guess saying that is cynical.
Yeah.
Because beer is too good to not be talked about. I mean, let's face it. All y'all know... I'm talking to them.
Sorry, it took me a second. I was just like...
I'm talking to the thousands of people that are going to be listening to this.
The thousands in attendance. And the millions watching at home.
Yeah, watching their computer screens. Just an FYI, rumors are that if you start this podcast with whatever porn you're about to watch, it syncs up perfectly.
Oh man.
It's like the Pink Floyd's The Wall and Wizard of Oz. This is what our podcast goes well with, any between 20 and 40 minute porns.
Porn and the
specifically the gay porn.
This particular podcast goes well with pork and hot and spicy porn.
Hot and spicy porn.
So if you're porking your lady and watching hot and spicy porn.
And necrophilia as well.
Yeah. Why not? Just throw that in there.
Very happy necrophilia, because we're drinking Merry Monk as well.
Dead guy ale for the necrophiliac and all of us.
I like that.
All right. Wrap down that. And real quick before we start, I'll get us some facts about the Weyerbacher.
And we're going to move on to a... We're going to try sticking to the theme of like a six-pack and a 24-ounce of something. Just because it gives us a little bit of variety. More shit to talk about. There will be some times where we'll do like a mixed sixer. Stuff like that. So it won't just be one beer. Except we probably will do a whole Lion's Head one at one point or another.
Yeah. Well,
That'll probably be the only one. Just because of how much we drank of it.
Yeah.
I forgot the best part. The best stolen beer story we have.
What's that one?
The Coors Original case.
Oh, yeah?
Thank God I don't work at Penn Mart anymore. All right, so I was working at somewhere. I didn't mention them just now. We were getting a delivery for some products, I believe Arizona iced tea and other stuff like that. And me and this guy I used to work with who got fired from there, I wonder why, he was always up to no good. Messed with the driver a little bit because it was a Coors truck, and we happened to break a case of bottles. So the guy, the Coors truck guy, we knew was nice enough to clean it up. Well, we went out to the truck and stole a 30-pack of Coors Original. And the guy, the kid that I was with, was so guilty about it, he didn't even take it. So that day, me and Nathan drove up to Scranton and sat in the parking lot, the parking garage, and got wasted on a 30-pack of Coors.
Not to mention, this isn't the first time that
we did that. That was our spot, too.
Yeah, that was our spot for drinking 30-packs illegally.
And just walking around the mall.
We'd walk around the mall. I think that was the time we rented the Menzingers. So yeah. Shout out to the Menzingers.
Yeah.
Tony Godino was one of them. His brother was there. His brother's in the Menzingers. Tony's kind of cool. I'm just kidding. Love you, Tony. We ran into them, and I was wasted talking to them. I believe that was the time you were also impersonating some sort of weird accent.
I was a British guy.
Sponsored by Nesquik. Why you were sponsored?
And why I said I was lactose intolerant? Yeah. Is sponsored by milk. I don't know. I don't even know what I was sponsored for.
Yeah, exactly. For some reason, I always assumed it was racing. You never probably made it clear.
Yeah.
But I figured you'd be a driver for NASCAR, a racer. And
yeah,
sponsored
something
by
like
Nesquik.
That.
And the irony being that you were lactose intolerant.
Okay, about Weyerbacher Merry Monks. It has won the bronze medal, 2010 World Beer Cup, category 47, Belgian style triple. I think that's how it's written. That's all I'm saying.
Could be triple.
Oh, the L and the E are switched.
Yeah, triple.
Triple. Merry Monks is a Belgian style Abbey triple. To be true to the style. Merry Monk's Ale is bottle conditioned. This means we add a bit of sugar and yeast just prior to bottling. This imparts a special... Wow, I'm not even trying that word right now.
Yeah, you are.
No effervescence?
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
Right on. To the beer, a creamier carbonation also extends the shelf life. The ongoing fermentation inside the bottle will change the character of the beer as it ages, and you'll find it becomes drier with age. You may want to lay down a few bottles for future evaluation. We suggest storing at cellar temperatures around 55 degrees, away from light.
Oh no. It's not only 30 degrees right now, but it's right underneath our beer lamp.
Yeah, but we are not storing it. We're about to drink it.
Yeah, that's true.
When you try this beer, you're in for a unique treat. The special
effervescence.
Effervescence.
We'll do one of those, insert words where, it'll just be a computer saying,
effervescence. Whatever. I still can't say it right. And creaminess are immediately apparent when pouring. The Pilsner malts combined with the Belgian yeast strains yield a remarkable and complex flavor. Perhaps you'll note subtle hints of banana? The flavor is nicely balanced and the finish moderate to dry, begging for the next sip. The 9.3 brew is available year-round. Keep your eye out for Merry Monk's Ale and 25-ounce cork and cage champagne bottles for an exceptional experience, and that is what we are currently drinking. And let me just tell you, for people in the area, this is only $10.
Yes, it's totally worth it.
And, 10%, or roughly about 10%.
Yeah, let's bring out the highlights here. Some banana, eh?
Yeah.
Sugar and wheat thrown in at the last minute, something that we'll be tasting for sure. Perfect corking. And 9.3% is something that is always a good thing in a beer.
I'm glad that cork was loud enough.
Because that totally came up on the...
Dude, I was trying to take it off slowly.
We'll find it later.
Yeah.
The cork went behind our fridge that is out in the garage, and it's actually a energy saver because it doesn't turn on half the time because it's so fucking cold out here. So.
All right.
And we begin to pour. So right now we're roughly, I'm two beers in.
I had a beer before I came here. Ooh, that's a head.
Oh no. We got an amateur pourer.
I wasn't as... Ooh.
Don't ooh it. You only had the head.
I know, but that had a banana flavor.
Yeah, banana head is the best head. What?
All right, I'm probably going to have to let this sit for a little bit so you can pour.
All right. So I've had Weyerbacher before, haven't had the Merry Monk.
I had Mary Monk, our friend Jared, who will probably be a future podcast guy. He will probably be joining us on at least one podcast. He wants to do Chimay with us.
Chimay
also be Chimay also being a Belgian style beer made by monks, Trappist monks. But he brought it over one time, and oh, that was that other beer. I was like, damn, you drank all that already? We didn't even taste it.
I'm not gonna ruin the tasting. This is what the podcast is about.
I'm gonna do the old Kuiper trick. See if it works with this.
It does work. I just did, if you can tell, I did like a little bit of a smiley face that's starting brewing. Let's just rate the head right here. My head is a little thick, but it was a good pour. Nathan's glass is mostly head.
I got a little bit excited with the pouring.
So I just want to point that out, who's the amateur.
Normally my pours are actually really good, but...
You know, I dated a bartender, so I'm like really popular or whatever.
Hey man, I spend a lot of time at bars. I watch people not know how to pour a Guinness.
Oh yeah. Stouts are tricky for pouring sometimes. Although Guinness, probably my least favorite stout.
Yeah? What about Guinness Extra Stout?
Guinness Extra Stout's good. Murphy's is actually better. Murphy's Stout?
Never had Murphy's.
To the untrained eye, you look at Murphy can and a Guinness can. They're identical. Just a different name.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a little bit cheaper. But it's also not Guinness from the Promised Land.
Yeah.
So, which is where you really get the good Guinness. But yeah, I had a... Like I was saying,
just fucking dip your finger.
Oh no, I'm waiting. I'm ready. I'm ready. Are you ready? You got the good head right there, Jim. Good head. Speaking of, no, we'll wait. We're not talking about that stuff. We're gonna get in trouble from the girls.
All right. Yeah, I'm ready to take a taste.
All right. Well, double cheers. And tasting. Oh my god.
Isn't that good?
That is great.
Yeah. You definitely have that, like, banana, like...
It seems like the head carries the banana, mm-hmm. and whereas the rest of the beer is almost like a... I don't know, I want to say nutmeg or cinnamon type. Like, sweet.
There's definitely... It's a little bit spicy there.
Yeah. Like, I would drink this in this condition. Like, this is the beer for a...
Cold.
30-degree garage.
This will definitely warm you up.
Yeah. Like, almost like we should be sitting in front of a fire. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Opening up some presents.
This would be a good, like, Christmas Day beer.
Yeah. This is excellent.
And, yeah, you definitely get that banana in there, too. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's not such a hint of banana. Like,
no,
I
it's
taste
there.
That. I can taste that banana.
Especially right in the beginning.
I'd be interested to see how it tastes like after storing it.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Imagine storing it. Imagine even like storing it at 55 degrees and drinking it warm. That banana would probably come out real good.
Oh yeah.
That is a good, really good beer.
Fucking big.
Man, we're in shock.
I know, dude. I had it, but at the time I had it, I think I was. We started out drinking Blithering Idiot by Weyerbacher.
Which is amazing.
Yeah. And then we went to the Merry Monks. And when I started drinking the Merry Monks, I was like, yeah, but I was also drinking it out of a bottle the whole night, so you don't get all the...
Yeah, like the pouring it is way more important than people think. Which, I mean, I know to all... Like, I feel like we're going to hear this on the internet. Listen up, beer snobs. We know what the fuck we're doing. We're doing this for the people that don't drink the beers. Mm. We know that pouring is important. We know what Rogue and Weyerbacher are, all right? Like, this is the, you know, the disclaimer. We're trying to take the, this is our first time trying everything approach, because there will be episodes that, I mean, this is a good episode, because it's the first time you tried one, the first time I tried one.
Uh-huh.
There will be episodes where we have drank, does that work? Yeah, drink.
Yeah.
The beers multiple times before we want to review them, or there will be episodes where we try things both for the first time, and yep. I think that's...
even sometimes we'll be like, when I, the first time I had the Merry Monks, I drank it out of a bottle because we were at a party. I'm not going to, you know, go and pour it into a glass.
Yeah, so don't, I don't want to read your comments. All right, pals.
But yeah.
No, it's awesome. Yeah. It is a really good beer. It's also lighter. It's not super heavy.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely something you could sit down and drink a good amount of if you don't get messed up because it is 9.3%.
Yeah, I mean, but you could also like
it's not a meal. It's not like a stout where like you feel like you're drinking your dinner. In glass.
I'd say like you could definitely easily sit down and drink probably two of these pint bottles. You know.
You'd be wasted.
Oh yeah, you would be.
But it's definitely it tastes really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost it's bordering that line of like, should this be legal to be alcoholic and this tasty?
Mm-hmm. Like it's like a Belgian style Chimay. The first time I ever had Chimay, I had it in a bottle. I drank the bottle all day. Like it's not something I just tanked in one sitting.
Yeah.
I just sat around and drank it every once in a while as a gift. And that was the first time I ever had that style thing. So that's why when Jared told me about Merry Monks, I was very excited to try it. And I'm still excited to drink it.
Yeah, it's excellent. And they're they're both lighter too, so it's awesome. It's kind of like a different realm of similar beers. Whereas it's still a little bitter, but not in a, I don't know, I feel like it's a world different, but in very similar ways.
Yeah, I mean, they're both ales.
Yeah, of
just course. different style ales. And this one, like, the bitterness is, like, barely there. It's right when you get that swallow down. That's where you get a little bit of the bitterness, but the aftertaste is really good. Because you get that banana. And it is a little dry. It, like, dries out your mouth a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's delicious. Give it a shot if you have the opportunity. And this is a year-round beer. It's available all the time. So if you have the chance, definitely pick it up.
And we may end up getting one and storing it for a little bit and trying it in, like, a couple months maybe.
Yeah, I'd say,
or a month or so.
I'd say even, 6 months.
Yeah, just let it sit. And we can revisit
and
try it with and see how the difference is. I actually like that idea.
Yeah.
So give us 6 months, which is, 3 to 4 weeks a month, depending on what month you're going. Is this a leap year? I don't know. Who cares? So we're saying 12, 14, 16 episodes. You might hear us talking about some Weyerbacher Merry Monks again.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd definitely, I'd crack this bottle open anytime. Or pop this bottle open anytime.
We'd break it open and not drink it.
Just throw it on the ground.
Just throw it because we're that excited that we have it.
Yeah, and I just picked this shit up on a whim the other day. I was just like, yeah, you know, I just got paid, had some money to spend, was in ShopRite and Broadadzo, for those people that live around here. They do sell this, so pick it up there. They also have an IPA I had earlier tonight. They had Blasphemy, which I hadn't had, and that was really good.
And Blasphemy is what? Who made it?
Weyerbacher, right? Weyerbacher made it. I want to. Whoa. I can't remember. Let me, before I fucking fuck something up and tell someone that it's way different, because Imperial is sticking out in my mind, but I don't think that's right.
I actually think I think it is, now that I think about it. But anyway, he's going to look it up. I'm going to throw in a beer fact that I had talked to him earlier about. Kate Light also thought it was very funny that Vikings believe that a giant goat whose udders provided endless supply of beer was waiting for them in Valhalla, which is the Viking heaven. And, you know, way to go, man. Like that. I mean, I wish that... Not that I wish it. I believe that there is a giant goat waiting to serve me beer when I die. Specifically, Merry Monk. Because I'll be very happy.
Okay, this is interesting. I just looked up blasphemy. Apparently, it is a retired beer.
Uh-oh.
I mean, but the label they're showing here, is mine had a raven on it. This shows, like, some kind of wizard-looking guy with his hand over his mouth. But it's a... Oh, I was wrong. It's an ale aged in oak barrels. So I was wrong. And that... No wonder I got so trash the other day. It's 11.8. And I housed that thing. Man, if I would have known it was retired. I know they still have them there, though.
We might want to get one. Maybe store that one, too.
Yeah.
Was it a darker or lighter?
It
was. What did you say? It was an ale?
It's an ale. I think it's darker than this.
But it's since it's an ale, we should probably get one of each and store them.
Yeah.
And then test them against each other when they're... Maybe that'll be one of the episodes. We'll test like a couple 24 ounces against each other.
Yeah, I'll especially work with two Weyerbacher ales.
Yeah, we can really see how the differences are.
But yeah, I'm sort of bummed out to find out that was fucking retired. But I don't know. Maybe they brought it back for a little bit.
Or maybe it's newly retired, where it's like last shipments or something.
Well, I just read on there that it came out in 2007. But like I said, the label they show on there is completely different than what mine is. Mine was. Maybe mine might even be older.
Yeah, they could. Like I said, they could have just been like they're getting rid of the shit that from their shipment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who knows?
So you can find blasphemy, I mean, for the sake of it being history now, I mean. It'll be in your kids' social studies books. if you have kids and, all that stuff.
Yeah, if you're lame like that.
Yeah.
Not that you're lame, but...
We encourage the population that if you're dumb, don't have children.
Yeah. So if you're smart and drink good beer, have kids.
Which, if you drink good beer, then you are smart.
And you'll probably have kids either way because you're drinking beer and, one thing leads to another.
So, We encourage all the smart and like all the actually intelligent human beings, which are the ones that drink good beer, to have children, so they could read about blasphemy by Weyerbacher. Is that what we just did?
Yeah, that's what just happened.
That's what just happened. That's what 9.3 alcohol percentage in a beer does to you. Thank you.
I think I might have took too much.
No, that's fine. You did buy it this time around.
That's true.
So,
that's true.
I'll have to get it the next paycheck.
But yeah, also, in the future, to look forward to more stuff by Rogue, we can order something that they did with Voodoo Donut, which I've never been to. I don't think you ever have.
No, I haven't, but I've... Wait.
That's in Portland.
Yeah, no, I was... reading something about it, but I can't remember. But no, I haven't been that far west.
If you've ever, if you're a fan of Anthony Bourdain, he went there on No Reservations. They make crazy donuts. And Rogue, being based in Oregon, which I'm assuming it has to be somewhere around Portland. But they came out with two beers with them. One is their maple...
Newport, Oregon.
Oh, Newport.
Right on the bottle. Amateur.
My bad, Joe.
I'm sure Newport, Oregon is close enough to Portland. I mean, in retrospect, from where we're sitting, Newport, Oregon is really close to Portland,
as
Oregon.
As far as I'm not sitting, I don't have a map in front of me, but I'm guessing they're right next to each other.
I'm saying, like, if someone in Newport and then someone in Pocono Pines, Pennsylvania started walking to Portland, the dudes from Newport would get there way before us. Like, we wouldn't even hit Pittsburgh.
No, we'd still be in Whitehaven.
we would have got tired and stopped for a beer somewhere and then just decided to give up by the time they got to Portland.
I know they have, I can't remember exactly what one it is, but it's like maple something beer by Rogue that they did, and then they also did one that I'm really stoked for, peanut butter chocolate banana. And I really want to try that beer. I mean, for all I know, it could be bad, but I don't think it would be.
No, it definitely won't be.
And that went along with their Memphis Mafia donut, which was a tribute to Elvis. So, I'm an Elvis fan.
So. Instead of calling it Memphis Mafia, it should have just been called, what was the loaf name?
Fool's Gold Loaf.
It should have just been called the Fool's Gold Beer.
it didn't have anything to do with bananas, though.
Oh, that's right. It was bacon.
Yeah, peanut butter, jelly, bacon.
Yo, Ro, get on your
bacon.
Shit. Peanut butter, jelly, bacon, bread, beer.
That's what we should make.
Oh, no. No, we're working on two good ones. We got the 8-bit and the Pilsner Colin.
But, yeah. I mean, if you guys get a chance, get out there and try this Dead Guy Ale by Rogue and Weyerbacher Merry Monks. You
yeah, they're
will not
both
be disappointed.
Great. Especially, and will say again that it's a great way that if you're interested in drinking craft brews with some bitterness that and you're trying to get out of the really shit beer, jump into these two because they're awesome. They're lighter. It'll be like the first step into drinking the heavier stuff.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, because I mean, if you took like, let's put this example. We just had two ales from very different styles. Both had very distinct tastes, way different. You take a Coors Light and a Bud Light and you drink it without knowing which one is what, they're going to taste the exact same.
Yep.
So get out and try this beer.
Please stop drinking anything from Busch.
If you have Netflix, watch watch this thing called The Beer Wars, and it will put a different perspective in your mind about
it will
the monopoly of Budweiser. I mean, Coors and Miller, they joined forces because they had to. But, I mean, either way, they're mass producing it. It's not going to be as good as someone producing it, starting out in their house and then buying a brewery.
Yeah.
So, yeah, get out there, try it.
And I will say that the worst thing that, I mean, I know we're saving Lion's Head for another, but since we're talking about Coors, the worst thing that ever happened to Lion's Head was that Coors bought them out.
Really?
That's when the labels changed and all that stuff. Oh. I'm glad that Lion's Head is still going, but there was a distinct change in the taste because Coors was, I mean, they did put money into the Lion Brewery, bought a brand new everything that they needed, and they did a lot of cool stuff too, but we'll get into that later, but it was better beforehand.
Yeah. Yeah,
and we can both attest to that because we were drinking it yeah. before and after.
And not to mention, I had a shitload of Lion's Head Saturday night.
Yeah,
Chetty bought a case of Lion's Head. So, yeah, I mean,
it was better back then. I'm glad it's still around.
You know what the funny thing
still,
is?
Like, it's still the best Pilsner. I had a Czech Pilsner the other day, and it was awesome. But I was still like, wow, it tastes like they're trying to be Lion's Head. And granted, Stagmeyer is a great brewery. We will definitely get Stagmeyer for beers on here because they're like the real craft brew of the area. You know, like they're big enough for it. They do a really good job, but Lion's Head is like their branch out.
Yeah.
And it's a damn good Pilsner. It's almost like an, I don't know, it should be more like widely distributed, you know. But anyway,
all right. I think that pretty much sums up what we were doing. We're at what, almost 50 minutes. So.
Yeah, I think we're gonna wrap this up so we can drink the rest of this beer and not talk to you fucking idiots.
Yeah, because we're just gonna be stupid. I'm getting stupid already.
Yeah, we're getting a little stupid. We're gonna drink this, have a good time in the warm rooms, and probably play Minecraft or something, or maybe not play it. Maybe we'll make out. I don't know.
Weirdest silly things to be. We're Merry Monks.
Yeah, Merry Monks and Dead Guy Ale, both awesome. Try them. We're going to go rub beards. all right, well, to wrap up episode 1, which was a complete success.
Yes.
I'm Drew.
I'm Nate.
And this was the Beer Goggles Podcast.
See you later. Later.